Rejoice again, I say rejoice, wrote St. Paul from prison. Why did he say that? Because he was full of joy, even under adverse circumstances. It is indeed a joy to be joining you this third Sunday in Advent, one of my particular favorite Sundays. In the season of Advent, which of course is a minor fast, it's not Christmas light, although we see the Christmas light at the end of the tunnel, but rather it's a time of preparation where we reflect on our souls and our lives and our world as a stark place in which the Christ child will be born and bring light. The Gospel reminds us today that John the Baptist was not the light, but came to testify to the light. Not just any old light, but the true light. In the Book of Common Prayer, there is a canticle called Phos Hilaron, and it comes from an ancient Greek hymn. And Phos Hilaron means joyful light. O gracious light, pure brightness of the ever-living heaven, Father in heaven, O Jesus Christ, holy and blessed, now as we come to the setting of the sun and our eyes behold the Vesper light, we sing thy praises, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thou art worthy at all times to be praised by happy voices, O Son of God, O Giver of life, and to be glorified through all the worlds. Now, of course, you might not be seeing this in Vesper light, you might be seeing it in the morning light, but the point is the same. Phos Hilaron translates as joyful light. You might even say that the word hilaron, which gives us the word hilarity, is a mirthful light. It's kind of funny. And we need to see things that maybe are a little lighter, so to speak, than we see our world right at this very moment. This third Sunday in Advent, you will see a pink or a rose calendar in many Advent wreaths, because it is that moment that the joy breaks through, even in the darkness of our world. And it may break through because we see things in a funny way. One of my favorite stories that I have used from time to time is of a pastor who is making his way through the airport, let's say Miami Airport. And he has been on a teaching and preaching tour in far-flung places where they have reptiles, including alligators. And as a token of their gratitude, the villagers to whom this pastor had preached and mingled and shared ministry and fellowship had given him a bag made out of alligator skin. So, as you well know, you're free to bring alligator into the United States. You are not free to bring crocodile. And so, making his way through Miami Airport, who should he meet but those good people of customs, now called ICE, of course. And the customs agent looked at his bag and said, "That's crocodile." And the pastor said, "No, it's alligator." And the agent said, "I'm going to have to take that bag." And he said, "Why?" He says, "Because it's crocodile." "No, it's alligator." He says, "It's crocodile and I am seizing that bag. And if you have an issue with it, you have to talk to my supervisor." So the pastor, being a godly soul, steeled himself, smiled at the customs agent lovingly and said, "Brother, don't let the devil steal your joy." So when he went to the supervisor of this customs agent, he said, "Brother, that bag is not crocodile, it's alligator, and it's a gift, and therefore please give it to me back." And the supervisor said, it's crocodile and you can't have it. But if you have an issue with that, then you need to write to my supervisor or go and see him personally. And the pastor says, would you be so kind as to give me his address and where I might go and speak to him personally on this matter? And the customs agent begrudgingly wrote out a number, an address, where he might take his case. And as the pastor looked at the customs agent, he looked him in the eye, smiled lovingly and said, brother, don't let the devil steal your joy. And so taking his case upwards, there's a similar litany of cold-hearted bureaucracy insisting that this bag was not alligator, but in fact crocodile, and therefore must be seized. Eventually, after this, pastor has spoken to many people with his same approach, unrelenting kindness and politeness, and the reminder at each junction to say, brother, don't let the devil steal your joy. Well, it turns out that the story had a happy ending and light did sort of break on customs and immigration, and they determined that it was an alligator and he could have his bag back. And his bag back he did get. Now, whether the devil was able to steal the joy of all those people he met, who's to say? But they would have had to have climbed over the pastor and his love and his joy first. Well, these are times when it's easy for the devil to steal our joy and take the light out of our life. You might think it's difficult to see the funny side of a pandemic. You might think it's difficult to see the funny side of an economic downturn. You might think it's difficult to see the funny side of job loss and the stresses and strains that are incumbent on people who are cooped up together because that's the right thing to do. And you might think it's difficult to see the funny side even after the procedure of an election is well set constitutionally by precedent, by law, that we are still tussling over the outcome. All of this can conspire to be a tool with which the devil steals our joy. But the good news is Christ comes to put it right back. We think, and rightly so perhaps, that these times are tough. But Christ was born in a very tough time. In fact, he was born in a stable, after a long route march by his parents, a hostile Roman government overseeing a country or a state that really would have preferred to have its own governance. Things were difficult. Speaking ill against the Romans would lead to crucifixion. We don't think that Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus were especially wealthy. They might have even been dirt poor, because if you're not dirt poor, you probably would have greased the palm of the innkeeper and say, surely there's some place you can put my baby and my baby's mother. But that did not happen. But yet we see Christ not only bringing light into the world, but being light in the world. And however dark we may see things right at this very moment, he has the very same purpose. We hear of this lightness in Scripture. We hear of the lightness that casts its brightness over our dark and shady plans and laughs, has joy has mirth, has levity, encourages us not to take ourselves or our situations too seriously, because after all, it's nothing that God can't handle, and indeed hasn't handled in the past. One of the roles of Christians is to reflect the light of Christ. Not any old light, but the true light, to bring light to where there is darkness. In the Roman Catholic Church, on a feast of Corpus Christi in South America, there's a procession that goes out from the church with the elevated blessed sacrament, and they go out into what we might call the hood or the barrio or places where there's excruciating poverty. Why? Because from this big, rich and opulent church, you take something that reflects the light to a place that is very dark. We have a similar role. We know that the devil is on the cusp of stealing our joy. Instead of being sourpusses and grim and dark and miserable, we need to remind each other, don't let the devil steal your joy, because Christ is coming into the world. We know that because he's already here. I have served a variety of ministries in my time, parish ministry, ministry to seafarers, jail ministry, and I'm now an army chaplain. And the purpose of all these ministries is not highfalutin theology. It's simply to bring a little light. And the chaplain is the one who in very serious briefs could actually crack a joke and people might actually laugh. And the chaplain is the one who, while people are deployed far from their families in somewhere which is unspeakably hot and has an odour of excrement, they come, they joke, they laugh, they love, and sometimes they will share a prayer or a word of consolation from Scripture. That's what they do. The same approach in the prison, the same approach on those ships that are flags of convenience where the mariners don't get to go ashore for up to a year. Why? Because immigration won't let them. It is to reflect the light of Christ. We don't have to use effusive God language. We just have to share that loving light. That's chaplaincy. That is actually the vocation of being a Christian. Ordained people should do it. Laity should do it. All the baptized should do it. Why? Because this brilliant light is without peer. And however dark things are at this very moment, they will not remain so. And all will be well. And all manner of things will be well. Why? Because God has promised. And not just promised as an empty promise, but covenanted. And a covenant always has a gift. And the gift is the baby Jesus, whose birth we will celebrate so very soon. Amen.